Greetings, dear viewers. I'm George from Ireland. This is marking 20 years since David Cameron became leader of the Conservative Unionist Party. So it was the wake of the 2005 election. Michael Howard, former Home Secretary, had come in and led the party to a defeat, a narrow defeat, that June 2025. Remember, Ian Duncan Smith had been defenestrated. Another example of Boris Johnson's treachery. Remember Boris Johnson writing he would get down into a trench to defend Ian Duncan Smith. The very next day, he voted to kick IDS out as leader. Michael Howard seemed to have done quite well. The Conservative made significant gains in 2005, but still lost. And he said that he would be 70-something by the next election, and that is too old to be Prime Minister. So he was going to stand down. But he would remain on for a few months because he said, we need to have a proper think about this. Where is it? This side. About the new leader, not in a catastrophic state of shock. Well, we're not just panic elect someone, have a proper campaign. And so they did, and that was about 6 months after they elected the new leader. And the rules devised by, well, William Hague, the MPs narrowing it down to just two, and then the mass membership voting on those two. And I remember Liam Fox was in the running early on. He's the one I wanted, was the most Atlanticist, believe in the liberation of Iraq and Afghanistan most fervently. And so forth. But Dr. Fox didn't get it. The MP for Kingswood, just outside Bath, him being a Glaswegian. People thought that someone else in the running was David Davis. Was he the runner-up? And he gave a lamentable conference speech, and he wasn't really in the running. And it was David Cameron. David Cameron, who grew up in Berkshire. His father was a stockbroker. Cameron, was he too pucker? He's an Etonian. People said no Etonian would ever be leader of a political party again. The last Conservative leader was obviously Alec Douglas Hume, who stood down as leader in 1964, just after he lost that election. The Liberals had Jeremy Thorpe right up until, I think it was 1975, is that right? 77, something like that. He was their leader. But actually, Cameron did get elected. He was a reformer, and he saw what Blair had done to Labour 10 years earlier, as they say, detoxify your brand, a modern conservative. And right at the end, the Conservatives lost the 2001 election. I can't remember what this ginger group was for moderating conservatism. And one of their main pitches was to be more accepting of gay people. And Cameron, famously the Prime Minister, who said, we're going to allow same-sex marriage. Labour brought in civil partnerships and wouldn't go away to marriage. And all the cornerstone group of Conservative MPs, the hardliners, disliked it. Cameron said, no, this is a moral issue. I'm going to railroad it through. It's absolutely vital. If that costs me votes, I don't care. I'm committed to this. And that was the one thing which he showed a bit of background was principled. Him and Francis Maud, one of his big backers. They were seen as they were thought that was at the North Kensington set. Him, Michael Gove, George Osborne, some thrusting young Conservatives who'd mostly known each other at Oxford in the 1980s. And so Cameron came in. So Cameron's background, he went to a school which no longer exists. It was in Ascot. It's now Licensed Vitriolist School, the site. He was there with Prince Edward, and the Queen came indeed to see their school play. Cameron went on to Eton, and then he was caught with cannabis. His housemaster, Mr. Faulkner, later taught me Latin. And Cameron was almost expelled for cannabis. Maybe life would have been rather different if he had been. He went on to Brasenose College, Oxford. He had to take a gap year to go to Oxford in those days. Went to the Soviet Union. We thought the KGB tried to recruit him. And then after he got a first in philosophy, politics, economics, what he's going to do with his life, he initially wrote an application to teach at Eton. He told me this. And he tore it up. And then he worked at Conservative Central Office. But that is, he had tons of money. Because the salary is very, very low. And I know someone who worked at Tory Central Office with them in the 80s and said, Cameron sneered at me because I had to buy my suits off the peg. His were all tailor-made. And apparently before he applied that job at the Tory party, someone from Buckingham Palace phoned and said, you will be a most exceptionally gifted young man. You've got to give him the job. So he's very self-assured. And he didn't have to think about the salary. Other thing, he's also a descendant of royalty of George IV, the wrong side of the blanket, through his mistress, Mrs. Jordan, who assumed the title Mrs. despite being unwed. So that was Cameron. He's got one elder brother who was a judge who died last year, and two younger sisters. So since he was about 21, he was going out with Samantha Sheffield, whom he married as soon as she turned 21. And they had those children. And everything had been going splendid in his life. 1997, he stood for this safe Conservative seat. Labour was going to make major gains. He thought he'd win it, and he didn't. He narrowly lost it because 97 was such a wipeout for the Conservative Party. But he managed to get himself elected for Wantage in Oxfordshire the next time. So he's a man of triangulations. He's all about image and so on. Yeah. And as he even began to say, I am the new Blair. And he recognised that Conservatives are sometimes partisan. He's non-ideological. A journalist once asked him, who's your favourite economist? And he just laughed. He wouldn't commit himself. I suppose he was a seriously unserious man. There wasn't such a joker as Johnson. He was really about image. He was a PR spiv. Remember Peter Hitchens, a bit of a reactionary prick, but he's running this one, said that Cameron hates his party. Genuine conservatism, or he was always flip-flopping. He was for grammar schools, and then he was against them, and then he was for them again, and things like that. So, David Cameron had never served in government in any capacity. He'd only been an MP for 4 years before he stood for the leadership of the party, a ridiculously short period of time. And there he was elected at the age of 40 to lead his party. And so it miffed a lot of people. Okay, and vote blue, go green. He said, we've got to show we care about the environment. I remember in those local elections in 2006, he even made a trip to, where was it, Iceland or something, or Greenland, to show that he cared about global warming. But think of all the carbon that emitted. And he cycled to work to show his commitment to not using cars. But a car followed him with his suit. So he was a complete phony right from the beginning. But anyway, people were getting fed up of Labour. Things were going fairly bad for him. And Norman Tebbit, Lord Tebbit, disliked him. There was even a plot of expelling Tebbit from the party to show how much things has changed. So brought in relatively young people. He had the idea of the A-list. So excellent candidates with special approval from central office. 50% of them had to be women. At least 10% of them had to be non-white. Because with us, like Jonathan Saeed is partly Indian, was I think the only non-white Conservative MP at the time. There had been that Sri Lankan guy. I don't even remember his name. I mean, some of the European Parliament, like Kanbai, remember Mr. Kanbai, I don't remember his Muslim name, I was about to say Christian name. Nirj Deva, he was the ethnically Sri Lankan one. Okay, so it's partly because of him, and there are far more non-white people who are Tory MPs and more women because of him, and he's saying being openly homosexual is entirely acceptable. So it was trying to win over the sort of liberal metropolitan people. Okay, and he admitted the Tory party had been wrong on various things. But in 2007, it was going badly. The Conservatives performed very badly in the Ealing Southall by-election. There was talk about a plot against his leadership. And Blair had just stood down, Gordon Brown had come in. And had Labour held an election in September 2007, Labour was going to win, according to the opinion polls. That would have been the end of the Cameron. But Cameron's luck held, and Labour bottled it. Now, that's partly because Labour was millions of pounds in debt. It would have bankrupted the party. Because of the liberation of Iraq, a lot of people tore up the Labour membership cards. The donations weren't coming. And so Cameron had a second wind. And then came the credit crunch in 2007. And from then on, it was almost easy. The wheels were coming off Labour. And then trying to win in 2010, not quite managing it. The biggest party, the highest share of the vote, but well below 326 seats, and managed to form a coalition government with the Liberal Democrats, the first peacetime coalition since, I suppose, right after the First World War, with Nick Clegg as Deputy Prime Minister. And Clegg stayed the course, but the late Liberal Democrats lost two-thirds of their votes. There were some of the Conservative Party saying, no coalition, go in as a minority government and call another election a few months later, just like, say, Wilson did in 1964, although it wasn't quite minority in 64. That might not have worked. It's likely that it would have. So there we are. So he managed to win a proper victory in 2015, and then called the Brexit referendum. He's a slimy shit. He promised that, if they got into government, they would put the Treaty of Lisbon to referendum, and he reneged on that one. And I remember another perjurer, another absolute scumbag, low down lying shit, William Hague, saying, it was acceptable to break these promises. And Cameron said he'd restore trust into politics. No, he will lie to you. You cannot trust him. He'll break his pledges. He's utterly treacherous. And Theresa May and the whole lot of them, they're all smarmy traitors. Okay, so it got worse. Or I think there was some group that the Conservatives had pardoned in the European Parliament that he would move to this other one, and then he didn't do it. So you can't trust him. What surprised me was that he honored that 2015 election commitment that he would call a referendum on membership of the European Union. Now, he think he would shoot UKIP's fox. That was a big problem with the Conservative Party, leeching support to them from Eurosceptics, and UKIP would be gone forever. The Conservative Party would have ensured that the United Kingdom was within the European Union forever. It would have killed the issue stone dead, except it didn't. And there we go. And he lied to the public again the morning of that referendum. I remember seeing him on GMTV. If you lose a referendum, will you stay as Prime Minister? Absolutely. And he would all do his sincere face and say, I can't remember what he was say when he was trying to come across as speaking in earnest. It'll come to me what his stock phrase was. Opinion polls come and opinion polls go. And some people bought that. But yeah, he was deeply disingenuous, Cameron. So the big idea was there that was no big idea. I suppose he was not really ideas man, managerial. He had austerity to deal with and dealt with that fairly well. Raised university fees, which was not the right option. The right option was to reduce the number of people studying there. And he reduced the armed forces and so forth. He had that hostile environment policy towards those who were in the UK illegally. Theresa May was his home secretary, and that was going on. So he didn't do anything to advance civil liberties. I suppose he said no compulsory ID cards. That might be the only thing. But very few achievements. Fortunately, Scotland chose to remain within the United Kingdom, that referendum which he allowed to go ahead. So I don't think he'll go down in history as a marvelous prime minister. You look at the terrible state the Conservative Party is in now. Is that because of him? And okay, a lot went wrong after him, and there was some slow economic growth under him. The Conservative Party and him was a much, much healthier state than it is now. I don't think he can be particularly blamed for the screw ups that came since. And he's not got a big role. He was ennobled later as Lord Cameron of Chipping Norton, Chipping Norton, a place in Oxfordshire where him and a lot of his cronies are the Chipping Norton set. Boris Johnson resented him. He was a year behind him in school. It rankled with Johnson years later that Cameron got a first-class degree, Johnson got a 2-1. Johnson would say, but only in PPE, as though philosophy, politics, economics is a cinch compared to literae humaniores. But yeah, Cameron is retains, I suppose, a dignified reticence these days. Evil, evil bastard, sworn enemy of children, mass murderer, and someone who bombed Libya, and Libya is still in a state of civil war because of that. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.